Bien.
So Psalms 1 is what I'll be preaching from. So if you have your Bible, open up Psalms 1. So on Tuesday, we started the Sinclair Ferguson videos. And one of the big things we discussed on Tuesday was identity and how we live in a world where there's an identity crisis. And how people try to gain meaning from, I guess, the identity, whether it's meaning from who they are as a parent, who they are as a colleague, who they are in the, as in what they own, their possessions. And it's sad to say that, you know, even as Christians, we sometimes get lost in an identity that has not been given to us. And as the world operates and works on identity, the Bible also talks about two identities. And in this text, we will explore these two identities. One is what the psalmist labels as a righteous man, and the second as a wicked man. And at times we might come across, I guess, different synonyms or different words used to explain these identities. You know, I'm sure you've probably come across sheeps and goats, believers and unbelievers, sons of God, sons of the devil. And really, I guess, all these identities are pretty much, all these different terms are trying to say the same thing. And what really matters at the end of the day to God is what identity we have. Are we a son of God? Are we a sheep? And in this chapter... are we the blessed man? Are we the righteous one? And a couple of questions to consider before exploring this text is, firstly, how do you relate to God? Do you love God? Do you love His Word? Do you love meditating on God? Do you delight in obedience to His Word? And then whilst we're exploring what a blessed man is or what the righteous man is, try and compare yourself to him. I know in my study this week when I was studying this text, I saw a lot of holes in my life. So I want you to feel the same convictions I felt this week, and hopefully we can all grow together from this. So I'll just pray and we'll get into it. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. It is good for our soul. We thank you for your book of Psalms. Father, teach us today. Send your Holy Spirit to convict us. Father, help us want to be better children of you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read the text and then we'll get straight into it. So verse 1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of a scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Back to verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So firstly, to define that word blessed, so 26 times that word blessed appears in the Psalms. And if you do a quick word study around those words and what the psalmists are trying to get at, we simply just conclude that the term blessed is meaning happily and deeply content with God and enjoying God. So blessed is the man. So one who enjoys God, who is content with God. Yeah, so the man who is righteous is blessed. So firstly, consider, are we blessed? Do we consider ourselves content with God? Are we content with His law? Are we content obeying God? Are we content with His word? Are we content of coming to church, worshipping on a Sunday and giving Him what He rightfully deserves? So blessed is the man. The man is content. The man is content not walking with the ungodly. The man is content not walking in the path of sinners. He's content knowing that he's missing out on what the world is doing. He's content not sitting in the seat of a scornful. Blessed is the man who walks not in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So scornful, mockers. How many times we come across people that take light of God's holy things, of Christ's name, of God's law, of what He expects of us, what is pure, what is holy. But yet the world makes fun of it. And yet as Christians, we tend to sometimes just turn a blind eye or pretend we didn't hear things when we heard it, and we're content being part of those conversations. The psalmist here is saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Naturally, when someone becomes a Christian, things start changing in their life. They no longer seek the counsel of their worldly friends or the different magazines or what the TV or Hollywood is telling them. Naturally, things start happening internally, and we seek, I guess, what we would call it godly advice, godly counsel. I remember when I first became a Christian, you know, a lot of my friends that I thought, yeah, these guys have their life in order. You know, they've made money, or perhaps they've got some type of reputation, or they've got a career. I thought, these guys are the guys I want to listen to. These guys know how to make money, or these guys know how to be the cool guys, you know. But yet, when Christ comes into your life, the blessed man no longer cares about the things of the world and cares what Christ cares about. I remember I was sitting there listening to a conversation full of mockery one day, and I was just sitting there just taking it all in, and I was thinking to myself, what am I listening? What am I hearing? These guys are openly making a mockery of what God deems as pure. And He hurt me inside. And I thought at that time, all right, if this is who I look up to, then it's going to be, I guess, a one-way ticket to the end, to destruction. It's going to lead nowhere. There's going to be nothing for me at the end of the road. They live their life for themselves. But then I thought to myself, where do I get my counsel from? Who do I go to? Where do I go? These boys were the boys that I looked up to my whole life. These boys are the boys that told me I need to buy a house, I need to do this, I need to do that. How am I meant to be a father? How do I be a husband? How do I be a good friend? Where do I go? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he has law, and in his law he meditates day and night. So where do I go? How often should I think about where do I go? Well, firstly, to the Word of God. It's simple. How often? Night and day. Now, without going into a deep study like we did this morning on what the different laws are and opening that can of worms again, the commentaries that I read pretty much were talking about the law in general, so the given word of God here, and what we have is the finished word of God. We have God's revelation here. So where do we go? We go to the Bible. The psalmist had a portion of the word. We have the whole Bible. So coming back to this text. Now, in the past, I guess I've come across many people who have this, what I guess one commentator called a negative purity. Someone who keeps God's commandments. But the problem is their identity, or where they get meaning for their life, is that they're ticking off these boxes. There's no actual delight in God. There's no keeping of His commandments because they want to keep His commandments. They're doing it just to tick off the boxes, much like the Pharisees did in Christ's time. They were just ticking off the boxes. They stayed away from the Gentiles. They stayed away from whoever was deemed unclean. They ticked off the boxes. And as Christians, we can fall into that trap as well. Many Christians, and I was guilty of this as well, I thought, oh yeah, because I'm not hanging out with my old friends, I'm better than them, or I'm also better than these Christians because I'm not doing these things. But there was no actual delight in God's word. There was no coming to the scripture. There was no seeing what God says and obeying Him as if I was obeying my father and want to delight and want to be loyal and want to make my father proud. There was none of that. There was no relation. It was me ticking off my religious duty, even as a Christian. And the Bible tells us when you meditate on God's word, you naturally become deeply rooted into God's word. There was never any deep roots for me. When you are deeply rooted into God's word, the Bible tells us you become like a strong tree. Here's this illustration now the psalmist used, a strong tree. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So think of this tree, a big, tall, strong tree, an old tree. You know, its roots are deep into the ground. The hurricane comes, strong wind comes, a strong rain comes. This tree ain't going to move. It's going to be there, solid, standing strong. And this verse is telling us that a blessed man, someone who delights in God's word, someone who loves God's law, is like this strong tree. And look what the psalmist says as well. He says, planted by the rivers of water. That's plural there, rivers. It's telling us that this tree has access to an abundance of water. This tree has access to all the nutrients it needs to be strong, to stand upright, to be healthy, to stretch out its arms. So there's this illustration here the psalmist is giving us. You see, the blessed one, the righteous one, is like this tree. The one who loves God and delights in His word will grow strong like this tree. The one who meditates night and day on God's word will be spiritually strong and healthy. You want to know where our streams of water is? In this book, in this Bible, God's revelation. And the righteous one, the blessed one, is strong because they are grounded in the abundance of life-giving nutrients. You want life and life eternal? We come to God's word. And no matter what gets thrown at the blessed man, no matter what gets thrown at you, you'll be grounded in God and you won't wither away. You won't be blown away by ungodly counsel or any earthly wisdom because you're grounded in God's word. Now, this verse also tells us that there are seasons in life. There will be many trials and temptations for the blessed man, for the righteous one. There will be problems, persecutions, heartache. But their strength comes from God, and it's His word that holds you strong. This is the life of a righteous man. However, the wicked man, that's our second identity, is caught up in anything else other than God. It might not be wicked to the point of, you know, we're going to go rob banks, but it's anything other than God we place our identity in. The Bible tells us it's God's way and only His way that counts. And a man who is not planted on the Word of God, the Bible tells us they're like chaff. They are wicked. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, I had to Google that word. I didn't know what it was, and I'm hoping a few of you don't know, so I'll explain. What it is, it's that dry outer layer of a seed. So picture wheat or picture a crop growing up, and then you want to get into the seed. It's that dry outer layer that the sun dries up, it falls on the floor, gets trampled on, trodden on, stepped on, and just disappears. That's what the illustration here we're getting, is that the wicked man is like this. We have one illustration where the righteous man is this strong, grounded person in the Word of God. But anything that gets thrown at him, he'll be able to withstand. And then there's an abundance of nutrients that they have access to. But yet then there's this other illustration here where we have that the wicked man is like chaff. So compare the metaphors. If you are not a blessed man, if you are not someone who delights in God's word, then according to this, you are wicked. And your life will mean nothing at the end. You might think it means something to your family. You might think it means something to your colleagues, to the people that depend on you, to the people that you love. But to God, at the end, it will be blown away. Verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So, I'm going to quote Spurgeon here. He puts it this way. He says, the wicked will stand there to be judged, but not to be acquitted. Fear shall overcome them, and they will look to run and hide, but will not stand with the saints in heaven. I think of when I was a kid, or, you know, your parents call you in, you're in trouble, you know you're guilty. You don't want to be there. You want to just run. You want to leg it. You want to get out of there. You don't want to receive a judgment. And you're not going to receive, you know, what your brother and sister received because you done the wrong thing. You see, the righteous man longs to be with God. The righteous man longs to be with the one who he loves. He looks forward to be united with his Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us that the righteous man will have his reward. Why should a wicked man receive the same reward? They don't deserve it. And the Bible tells us that they won't. The God who they mocked, who they have been scornful against, as we see in verse 1, will be glorified at the end of the day through his wrath and through his justice, in which a wicked man will experience. The wicked man has transgressed the law of God. The wicked man has not found peace or joy in God, and so shall his eternity be without God. However, the blessed man will be in the assembly of the righteous. There will be a literal assembly one day of all those who are deemed blessed. The blessed man will be united with his brothers and sisters in the presence of Jesus in heaven. You're starting to see the pattern here. There's always two roads, two identities, two ways to live, two metaphors. One righteous man and one wicked man. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, the righteous carves his name upon a rock. but the wicked writes his name on the sand. God knows our path. Job says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God watches over his children. He's a caring father, and he will make sure that the path of the righteous will lead to an eternity with him as he has promised. However, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Just like the chaff, its life, it's for a moment, then it'll be blown away. So to conclude tonight, so you can all make the grand final. Christians, do you delight in the ways of God? Do you come to him for your counseling? Or do you sit in the presence of mockers and the scornful? Do you delight and meditate on God's words? And when I say meditate, I'm not talking about the 15-minute family devotion you do at the end of the day or the 2-minute Bible reading you go before you sleep. You read before you sleep. Do we give God his due, what he's worth? Do we seek to meditate and to delight in his truths all day and night? Do we look to be like that strong tree, grounded? We have access to the nutrients, all the nutrients, the spiritual nutrients we want and we can have. And then the second thing is, or the second person we see is what God calls wicked. And the end result is hell. And if you're living life that reflects that of a wicked person, I encourage you to start thinking about what needs to change. And Christian, to share my convictions, if you're living life as a Christian, but yet do not really delight and meditate on God's word, then I encourage you to think about that and see where changes can be made. I want to close up by asking, what path are you on? I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for Psalms 1. We thank you that your Bible is clear. There are two pictures. There's a righteous man and there's a wicked man. Father, we thank you that through Christ that we could be on the righteous path. And we thank you for your word that you've given to us, that we know how to stay on this righteous path and be able to live according to what you have told us. We ask that we may continue to come to you, come to your word to receive counseling. We pray that you may help us run the race set before us. We pray that you may help us delight in your law. Help us to obey your commandments. Father, we sin, we stray off the road, we rebel against you, but we know that you're always there, willing to accept and forgive us. We pray that you may bless us as we go this week and just consider these things that we have spoken of tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.